I do apologize this evening, but before I do that, it's good to see you tonight, and we had a wonderful luncheon together. The purpose of it was just great to celebrate our graduates. The food was delicious. How can you get better than hamburgers and hot dogs and baked beans and chips? And everything was just perfect. And what always amazes me most is after it's all said and done, all the people, men and women, just jump in and take care of things that need to be taken care of. It's a wonderful sight to behold and be a part of, and I appreciate so much those of you who do such good works on a regular basis and so often without even being asked. That goes a long way to make things run smoothly around here. Now to the apology. If you came this evening looking at the bulletin and expecting a wonderful lesson on true love, I'd be fascinated myself to listen to it, but I've decided to go a different direction tonight, and so we'll leave true love perhaps for another time, because if you've noticed with me, we've got some chirping going on out here. I looked over to Benita early into the service, and I said, "Oh, those birds, or perhaps I'm having a stroke." And good for all of us, at least for me, it was birds. And so I got to thinking that we just, we'll go with it, and we'll have a lesson about the birds. And if you'll turn with me for just a moment to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Now, I don't know what you think about birds. We enjoy in the morning coming out and having our devotional on the patio and having our coffee, and we put some food out for the birds, and we have our favorites and those we know by, they come back every year, and the couples come, and sometimes the couples we get kind of close to them, and we have names for them, and we like the birds. And on the other hand, I remember visiting my father when he lived in Miami, and one of his aggravations was the birds. They did making too much noise, and they're making a nest in the front porch area, and they're just driving me crazy. And he tries to get rid of them, and. So we couldn't be more polar opposites on that. Some like birds and some don't. But regardless your affection or affinity or the lack of the same for birds, you have to admit they are amazing creatures. After all, they can do something we can't. They can fly, which is amazing to think of on its own. But I take you to Matthew 6 for a moment. For what Jesus has to say here about the birds, he begins in verse 25 by saying, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will be put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" Look at the birds of the air. And I might say, listen to the birds out the window. Just consider them, and consider them in the sense of God's majesty of creation in the whole process of making not just humankind, but even the lesser and lesser and lesser creatures, which have capacity of movement and thought and intuition and instinct and action that we cannot, with all of our technology, reproduce. Whether you like birds or not, I know one thing about you, and that is you can't make one. You might say, "I killed one or two," but you can't make one. You might say, "Well, I've raised birds, and I've made..." No, you haven't made those birds. You started with birds, and God's reproductive system caused the other birds to come. you start from scratch with your own stuff and make your own bird, and you'll find, I just can't do it. And it's not just the birds of the air, it's even the lesser and even lesser creatures. You know, you'll find after the rain, the birds there in the soil trying to get the worm. And that worm, so insignificant, so much so that in one translation, there's a place in the Psalms where the psalmist speaks of our being as weak as a worm. You know, worms are so weak, they haven't got any say over whether they go fishing or not. You just take them and you put them on the hook and you take them out and fish with them. Don't think a thing about it. And yet, just like the bird, even the lowly worm, you can't make your own worm. With all the scientific know-how and technological expertise of our world, with all the minds we have put together, we cannot create a single worm. And you get beyond and below and beneath that to the very cell of life itself. We can't create it. We take some credit for ourselves in being able to manipulate it. We could have hybrids in terms of things reproduced. But starting from no life and creating life from that no life, we simply have not been able and will not be able to do. And God, who made these lowly of lowly creatures, has also made us the crown of our Lord's creation. He's given us dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the beast of the field. And this because, though little lower than the angels, we have dominion over the animal kingdom, which God has made. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, in your songbooks, if you would, to number 85. And notice the song begins with the words, the little flower that opens, the little bird that sings. God made their glowing colors. He made their tiny wings. And you might think that's simple language for simple minds. That's a child kind of a song. It is really beneath us. And yet you look at the words and their meaning and ask yourself the question, okay, can you make your own flower? Well, no, you can't. Can you make your own bird? We've talked about that. No, we can't. Can you change their colors? Can you make their tiny wings? Can you make some wings for yourself and fly under your own power? Well, no, you can't. And as the song continues, remember it says at the end, the Lord God made them all. Let's sing together number 85. The little flower that opens, the little bird that sings, God made their glowing colors, He made their tiny wings. All things bright and beautiful, creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. The cold wind in the winter, the pleasant summer sun, the ripe fruits in the garden, He made them every one. All things bright and beautiful, creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. He gave us eyes to see them and lips that we might tell
How great is God Almighty, who has made all things well, all things bright and beautiful, creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all.
Whether it's a bird or a plant or a worm or an amoeba, or you and me and the minds we have, all of this should direct our minds away from self and even away from science and back to the God behind it all. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Everything that was made by Jesus Christ our Lord, things visible and invisible. So says Paul in Colossians chapter 1. And what God did for the birds, he did much more for us because we are fearfully and wonderfully made, as the psalmist said in Psalm 139 and verse 14. Even those Athenian poets understood that we are his offspring, not realizing the fullness of who God was and the singularity of God's very personhood. Still, the heathens of old knew that we have to come from somewhere, not from nothing. Come from a source above us, beyond us, and not from nothingness. Yes, we are brought back to a belief of faith in Almighty God. But that's not really the point that Christ is making here in Matthew 6 about the birds. His point is simply this. We worry, they don't. God takes care of them, he'll take care of us. And we waste time in worrying about things we can't control, things in the future we cannot know, difficulties about which we have no ability to alter. And yet somehow, by some means, in some way, God takes care of those under his charge. And it would seem that we in our intellect would have so much over the birds. So much so that if I were to ask you the question, let me ask you, who's smarter, you or a bird? Well, you say, well, that's easy. I'm not that smart, but I'm smarter than a bird. In fact, we use the word bird brain for somebody that hasn't got much of a thought process going on. Oh, he's just a bird brain. And yet, if you look at the text we just read, there's an aspect of the birds that shows a wisdom beyond our own. Now, it may be a wisdom born of incapacity. The birds haven't got the capacity built into them to worry about things like we worry about things. Birds just live from one bit of food to the next. I promise you, as you listen to the birds chirping out the window, they aren't talking about, I wonder who's going to win the midterm elections. I wonder what the stock market's going to do next week. I wonder if we'll have enough food to eat next winter. They're not talking, I don't know what they're talking about, but I know enough to know that's not what they're talking about. In fact, Jesus tells us right here in Matthew 6, we just read it a moment ago, look at the birds, verse 26 of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. So I guess there's no hope for them, is there? No. Your heavenly Father feeds them. As I said, we tend to put some food out for the birds. And I'll have to admit, every time I go to the store and pay money to buy food to feed the birds that just seems to go nowhere, in the process of that, there's a moment in my mind when I think, this is a little ridiculous. But then when I see the birds come and eat, I realize that that was a good idea. I'm glad we did that. I had to repent in myself for the complaining in my mind I was doing. But there are times when we don't put the food out. times when we're gone, or for reasons of weather or whatever, we just don't get out there and put the food out there. And somehow the next time we do, those same birds are back. And I wondered to myself, I wonder where they had dinner when they weren't at our house. Are they seeing other people? Well, it may be, but in some way, God saw fit that they had something to eat. In some way, they found a way to survive and find enough sustenance to get them by long enough to get back to us when we had food. And the reason that happened is because God cares for not just the birds, but for all the creatures of the world. Things are orchestrated by God in just a way that everything is as it should be. And the blessing of not knowing some things that we worry about is the blessing of just fully trusting in God to take care that this works out. I can imagine in my mind's eye, perhaps, a bird coming to my bird feeder in the back, and we're gone out of town for a few days, and he comes with his wife to that feeder, and they look in there, and there's not a seed to be had. Looks over the other feeder, and know that that is empty too. And I can imagine them sitting there and asking, back and forth, well, Mrs. Bird, what's going to happen to us? We're just going to die. And she says, Mr. Bird, I agree with you. Let's just sit here and die because we'll never eat again. We'll never have any more food. But you know, that imagining is wrong. You know it is. What the birds do is they just fly somewhere else, continuing to look until they find the food that God has provided for them in one way or another. And because they know that will happen, they're not worried about it. They just know that by some means, they'll be taken care of. And they'll have what they need in God's own time and God's own way. And in that way, we'd all be better off to be bird brains. In fact, I'm beginning to rethink my idea on that. Before this time and this lesson, I might be somewhat offended if you said, Brother Key, you're nothing but a bird brain. But if you ever tell me that again, I'm going to think, thank you. I want to be a bird brain and trust God enough to believe that He'll take care of me. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to be concerned about what tomorrow might hold or what next week might bring or what not next year might roll along in my life. Don't have to worry about that. Don't have to worry about the stock market or the fluctuations of international currency or the price of Bitcoin or what's happening in Congress. Don't have to worry about that. I can do my best to help as I can, but God takes care of His own, because doesn't the Bible say all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose? Romans 8:28. Doesn't the Bible say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, in Psalm 23:1? Doesn't the Bible say, casting all your care upon Him because He cares for you, in 1 Peter 5:7? Doesn't the Bible say in the last of Psalms 100, the Lord is good? The Lord is good. His mercy endures to all generations. God will take care of us. And with that in mind, turn with me to number something. I prepared this so quickly. 461. 461. And I tell you, the birds that were singing out the window a few moments ago weren't singing this song. And the reason they weren't is because they didn't need it. They had wonderful bird brains that didn't cause them to worry. But because we don't have bird brains, and because we do tend to worry, we need to sing songs like this and think about what the words are saying and what the idea is behind the words and what the message is for us. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will. He will take care of you. Let's sing together.
Be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through days of toil when heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangerous fish your path assail, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. All you may need, he will provide. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean, weary one, upon his breast. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
And I suppose if there's a message in here anywhere, it's this. Let's all be thankful for everything God has made, even the birds. And let's do our best to be bird brains. If you're here tonight and not a Christian, please don't leave in that condition. And if you are a child of God who strayed, please come back. And if you need to come, do so now as together we stand and sing.